Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress, the people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, balancing WordPress success and family life. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you, and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head over to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Miriam Schwab. Miriam co-founded Stratic to enable WordPress websites to be more secure and performant. After Elementor acquired Stratic, Miriam continued leading the unit before becoming head of WordPress relations. Previously, Miriam founded and managed a WordPress development agency in Israel. With over 15 years of experience, she's a respected member of the WordPress community and a renowned speaker. In today's episode, we discuss Miriam's life. It's a departure for this podcast, which usually focuses upon the code, the plugins, and the community. The idea came out of a talk which Miriam presented at WordCamp Asia this year. In this talk, Miriam outlined how she carved out a successful career in the world of WordPress, whilst also being the mother of 7 children. And it's fascinating. She openly shares her story as a way of empowering others in the WordPress space. Her journey goes from content writer to startup founder, and ultimately to the important role she now has at Elementor. The episode paints a picture of Miriam's drive, perseverance, and adaptability. We talk about the shifts in Miriam's career, from the decision to sell Stratic to the challenges she faced when transitioning to a more structured environment at Elementor. Her experiences underscore the importance of finding one's footing amidst rapid organizational growth, something Elementor continues to experience, even in the face of emerging tools like Gutenberg. We also talk about the fabric of the WordPress community, a fundamental aspect of Miriam's professional life. The generosity and collaborative spirit of fellow WordPress enthusiasts have been crucial to her success, leading to lifelong friendships and a supportive network that thrives even amidst competition. We also get into how Miriam manages to maintain her productivity, and talk about the specific tools she has adopted, such as Jira, Text Expander, and Notion, how she uses them, and why she likes them. This episode is a fantastic discussion with a tenacious person who has not just found balance, but has also flourished. If you're interested in hearing how one person has managed the stresses and strains of an incredibly busy life, this episode is for you. If you want to find out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. A quick note before we begin, this was recorded live at WordCamp Asia. There was quite a lot of background noise to contend with, and I've done my best to make the audio as easy to listen to as possible. And so, without further delay, I bring you Miriam Schwab. I am joined on the podcast today by Miriam Schwab. Hello.
Hello.
Very nice to have you with us. We're going to talk today about, well, something entirely different. We're going to talk about you and your actual life. We might get into WordPress a bit, but you did a talk at WordCamp Asia, which is where we are at the moment. And it was about your life and how busy you are and the ways that you cope and all of that. Will you just tell us a little bit about the presentation that you gave this morning?
This was an unusual talk for me to give because mostly my talks are pretty practical and technical. And I actually tried to stay away from talking about my private life. It makes me a bit uncomfortable and I'm not sure how much people want to know. And also, you know, it's sharing private aspects that I'm just not used to sharing so much. But I submitted this talk and I actually had forgotten that I submitted this topic until they wrote to me and they're like, your talk has been accepted. How I built my WordPress career while raising 7 children. I was like, oh my gosh, I actually submitted that. So it was like there's some time gap between it. The reason I submitted it is because for a while, people have been saying to me that I should share my story because it's unique slash weird. And I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe it's time. And also my hope was that the talk would be helpful to people. And so I spoke about that.
So tell us a little bit about your life. What makes your life so, well, complicated? You are going to have to get into the family and all sorts, aren't you? So hopefully you're comfortable covering that. But you've got an incredibly busy life, a very large family. We can get into that a little bit. You've got a very busy career. In fact, you've had many different hats that you've worn over the years. Let's just start with the family. You've got 7 children. And I imagine for most people, just the idea of 1 or 2 children is probably about as much as they can cope with. 7, I'm guessing it kept you very, very busy. Are they all grown up now?
So my oldest is 25. And my youngest is 11. And then, you know, all sorts of ranges of ages in between. So I don't have babies anymore. It's a different stage. But at every stage, it's like a different type of need. It gets easier. At least it gets less physically demanding in terms of now I mostly can sleep. That's exciting. And, you know, I'm not changing diapers and like I don't have to bathe my kids and all that kind of stuff. And they can pretty often make their own food. And so a lot of that has been reduced. I even do their own laundry. How awesome is that? My 2 oldest actually just got engaged, dealing with all that. And that's the whole thing. It's 2 productions, 2 events, 2 new families to be connected with, you know, and thank God I'm very happy about it. So everything has, every stage has its thing.
It paints a picture. Like I said, if you know anything about raising a family, you'll have an intuition that 7 will keep you incredibly busy. But obviously that's just one component of your life. You've had a really, really interesting career path through the WordPress space. So just tell us about the different projects that you've launched, because I think if you tell us about Stratic and all of the different projects, we'll get another idea of the difficulty, if you like, and how busy you've been.
I got into the WordPress space about 17 years ago when I was looking for more flexibility in my work life. And I, at the time, had 4 kids. I had 3 kids, and then when my 4th was born, I quit my job that I was working at the time because I needed to be able to be with my kids and be there for my kids without feeling bad about not being at work or in an office or something. And at first I wrote content and copy, but it was for companies that were putting it on websites. And then I realized the website aspect of it interested me much more. And I started exploring that, and I decided open source spoke to me more, and I checked out 3 main options at the time, WordPress, Joomla, and Drupal, and I really loved WordPress. And so I started offering it as a service. First, you know, just me, and at the time, it wasn't really a CMS yet, so it was like blogs for companies that wanted to start having blogs, because that was like a big thing. And then that eventually, with time, grew into an agency, and we were building full custom web solutions for companies and large nonprofits and organizations. Yeah, so WordPress enabled me to continue to develop myself professionally, learn a lot, because, you know, when you're building a WordPress business, you're learning not just WordPress. You're learning about hosting, server management, security, and also business, everything around that, sales, marketing, accounting, cash flow management, so like whatever, all that stuff, billing, contracts. And I loved learning all of that. But I was able to do it kind of on my own terms so that I could have that flexibility for my kids. So that was company number one. Then after doing that for like 13 years, I came up with the idea for Stratic. After 13 years working with WordPress, I knew the benefits of WordPress, which are many. But also the industry was kind of suffering from issues around security, scalability, performance. And I encountered this new trend, static site generation. And I was like, oh my gosh, if we can generate WordPress sites as static sites, you get all the benefits of WordPress and the powerful CMS. And sites that are fully scalable, you know, highly secure because there's no attack surface and just really fast. So I started working on Stratic, building out the product, sold my agency. And yeah, and then Stratic was a whole new journey. And it was a venture-backed startup, raising funding and the whole thing. And did that until it was acquired by Elementor in June of 2022. And that's where I've been since then. So that's quite a few.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, isn't there? But so we've got the family life, which is very, very busy. You've got the work life, which is very, very busy. Do you feel that you got into it at just the right time? Was it kind of like the perfect thing, WordPress, at that moment? Because you could, I'm going to guess there was a bit of late evening work and that kind of thing where you could fit your family life around all the different moving parts of the business. Did WordPress and, you know, building websites and building up that agency, was there some overlap there with family and the kind of remote, if you like, distributed sort of nature of the work that you could do?
It really supported my family life. I don't mean economically, but that as well. But now there's more remote options. But in those days, remote work wasn't really a thing so much. Maybe Automattic was already doing it. I'm not sure, but nobody else. So it was an option. You either worked in an office or you didn't work, more or less. And so embarking on a journey with WordPress meant that I could work when it was good for me. It's not like I didn't work because of this. It just meant that I could work at night or early morning or, you know, whatever, off times and catch up with things, because instead of having to be pressured to work in a certain window of hours. And that just worked that worked really well for me. I think also in the other direction, I got into WordPress at a good time because I started learning it before it became a CMS. So I was already there and I already like was creating a reputation as a WordPress person. And then when it became a CMS and companies started to turn around and go, wait, our proprietary CMSs, we can't do anything with them. They're too limiting, cost a fortune. They started to look to move to WordPress and I was well positioned for that. So that was also good timing.
Yeah, that's nice. Did you find that the community, the people in the WordPress space, were they a crutch that you could rely on? I mean, we always talk about the WordPress community, and I know for a fact that you're deeply embedded in the community, so I'm anticipating the answer here. But let's imagine that you'd have done a similar business, but not with open source, with some kind of corporate kind of thing. I get the feeling life would have been a little bit harder. I'm getting the feeling that the community may have helped you, but I'm not trying to put words into your mouth, but just talk about that.
So in the earlier years of being part of the WordPress community, I really enjoyed being in touch with people online. And the way I benefited was that WordPress has a strong culture of sharing, sharing knowledge, sharing learnings, which I was inspired by. And as I started learning about WordPress, I actually started a blog at the time and I would just write posts about everything I learned, which also helped other people. So it's kind of like paying it forward. I benefited a lot from that. I only was able to meet up with people face to face for the first time at the first WordCamp Europe. It worked out for me to go, and it was life-changing, I think, in some ways, which is funny to say. It wasn't the size of the conferences now. It was, I think, a couple hundred people, and it was in Leiden in the Netherlands. But I got to meet people that I'd been in touch with online, but for real, and there's something about that connection that's different. Then I really became close to people in the community. And it's just being part of an industry that's friendly, to me, was really important. Well, I didn't know that, but now I see it's really nice. People are supportive and friendly, and like, yeah, we might compete with each other, but it doesn't mean we can't be friends. I loved introducing, for example, the co-founder and CTO of Elementor to Robbie from Beaver Builder. They had never met and they were both thrilled to meet each other, and they're page builders that compete with each other, but that's okay. This just suits my nature more than being in a, like a cold corporate type of environment. That would work for me.
You just used the word close when you were talking about these people, these colleagues, these people in the community. Do you have actual friendships based upon the software? You know, you've been to these events and do you consider them to be your actual friends?
So there are some people that I would definitely consider to be my friends. Yeah. I'm in touch with them on a regular basis and yeah, definitely my friends. And then there's a lot of people who, you know, we're in touch a little bit, but then when we see each other, it's like, you know, we never stop being in touch. So if we meet up at WordCamps, then it's just like picking up again and it's a different kind of friendship, but I also consider them my friends. I just really love the people in the community. Yeah. They're so nice.
You always seem to be very positive, very effervescent. There's always a very nice energy coming from you. But I'm guessing that given everything that we've talked about, you know, beginning an agency, starting a new company, learning all of that with the family in the background all the while, I'm guessing it's not always been easy. I'm guessing that maybe there's moments where it wasn't quite so rosy. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us some of the struggles over the last decade.
So I've definitely had struggles. Definitely. Running businesses is hard and stressful. There's certain things that have kept me going. So first of all, I think almost any founder has to be somewhat unrealistically optimistic. I think you just always be like, well, that's going to work out. I don't know. There's something about it. Otherwise, you can't keep going. So I'm just generally optimistic. Also, I think I've learned through the years, okay, so that's not going to work. But like figuring out ways to circumvent an issue or take a different path, which to me is also like interesting and exciting because then you get to like rethink things. So that's one thing. I'm realistically optimistic. And the other thing that has kept me going is working with really great people. So I've been fortunate in the agency and at Stratic working with people. I can't stand when people say that employees or a team is a family. It's not. It's not because in the end, it's a business. But we became really close at Stratic and we really care about each other. We make each other laugh a lot. Like they're hilarious people. It's almost like we're competing to see who can make each other laugh more. And even since we've been acquired by Elementor and the team is doing not always the same things anymore, we still will meet up for lunch together and things like that. So working with good people, my family, my parents, you know, my siblings have always been very supportive. So that means a lot when I'm going through hard times. And then my own personal community. I live in a really nice community. And so I'm there for people when they need it and people are here for me when I need it. And so it's about having just really good people around you.
Yeah.
I think that helps. And sometimes I just literally just pray. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to be? All right, time to pray. I know that's not going to, a lot of people aren't going to really be able to relate to that. But I do think that a lot of things are out of our hands. Like we can work really hard and we can try really hard. And then in the end, things go one way or another and that's out of our control. So that's where I pray.
I wrote down a question, which I think is an interesting one. And it was about just the capacity to cope and everything that you've described. I don't think I could have lived through what you've been through and come out the other side successfully. I think it would have been a bit of a disaster. I'm imagining all the plates spinning and probably most of them shattered on the floor.
Do you think that there's just something about you, your nature, if you like, or the way you were raised or whatever, that allows you to cope? Because there must have been times where everything was happening all at once and, you know, no time for me. Where's Miriam time? Do you think about yourself in that way? You said you were optimistic, but it must go a little bit further than that.
The way I describe these two aspects of my life, the career and the personal, in my talk now is I took both to the extremes. I did. 7 kids and 2 businesses. I don't know why I'm like that. I need to be living at the edge. And I've told my kids this because they can't believe it. But before I got married and started having kids, my nature is actually lazy. That doesn't seem like it aligns with where I am today. But my nature is lazy. And I think I always felt like I needed to push myself more to not be lazy. So like, to make sure that I didn't have a chance to just do something unproductive. When you have kids and work and all that stuff, you don't have time. But I always made time for myself when I felt like I needed it. If I felt like things were becoming too much, I would say no. I would take a break. At a few points, I did something which now people call like a workcation, where I would go to Tel Aviv, stay in a hotel on the beach for like a day or two, work there, maybe not as intensely, and go to sit by the sea. So just to recharge when I felt it. So I was able to identify when I was going too far. I will give credit to my family in that I come from I'm probably the first generation in a long time that is properly working as a woman. You know, my mother, my aunts, they were stay-at-home moms, which is important. But, you know, they didn't have professions outside the home. But come from a family of very opinionated, strong women, including my grandmother. Both my grandmothers, actually, very strong, have gone through a lot, always keep a good attitude, always loving, and I must be inspired by them.
Yeah, I mean, from everything that we've talked about already, and we'll get into how you actually managed it on a sort of nitty-gritty way, it does seem like you've coped incredibly well. How do you manage the actual tasks? So if we were to look at your typical day, what are you doing? How are you making sure that everything gets done? I mean, do you have like this giant to-do list? Do you have tools that you use? Do you have people that you rely on? Are you good at delegating? We could go off in any direction.
So I've had to learn over the years, first of all, to try to focus mainly on the things that I love to do, because then I'll really do them well. And if there's things that I don't love to do, then I'm either just not going to do them or I won't do them well. So really try to focus on that.
Are you fairly brutal with that then? If you got an intuition that you would enjoy something and then you didn't enjoy it, even if you'd put lots of time into it, you just drop it.
It depends how critical it is. But if I don't feel like it's critical enough, I will drop it. Not a good thing. It's not necessarily good. Like, I should have more self-discipline. But that's how it will be. If it's not like motivating me enough or enjoyable enough, then I might not do it. Or I'll try to hand it off to someone else. I use Jira for all my tasks.
I've never used it. So you're going to have to tell me a little bit about what that is. It's software.
Yeah, software. I used to try to manage my tasks in different ways, but it's especially good for what I do now at Elementor, because I use it actually for documenting what went into like a project or a task. So all links to docs and other tickets, whatever, it's all in there. And I love that I can do that in one place. It has a status, like where it's up to and if it's completed. And that really helps me. One of the things that really helps me with also is I can track what I actually completed. I do a lot of very diverse things. And so I can often get to the end of a day or a week and be like, what did I do? But with Jira in the background, and I make sure to keep it updated for small things and big things, that I can be like, oh, right, I did that. I connected this person with that person. I made sure that this project went forward, whatever. So that's something. And I use some tools that help with automating things or like making things more efficient. I hate wasting time on things. If there's something that I can make faster, it has to be faster. If it can't be faster, again, I might not do it or like not do it well. So I use some tools, like I use this tool called Text Expander, where you can just type a shortcut and then it can expand anywhere in your, like whatever you're doing, your email, a doc, a form, it just submits everything.
Oh, so you write a thing once, let's say it's an email or something, and then you get like a short code or something.
Yeah, it could be like a sales email, for example. The short code could be like good sales email or something like that. And just write that and then boom, it's all there. I use it a lot for submitting talks. So like I have a short bio shortcut and a long bio shortcut, and I have my email address, my phone number, just things that don't take that long to do, but it's just annoying to do over and over. I just use shortcuts for everything. So I love that. I started using a tool for managing my personal contacts called Dex, like Rolodex. Dex. It's like the tool I've been looking for all these years. I do a lot of relationship building and I meet a lot of people, especially over like 17 years in an industry. It's hard to remember. When did I meet the person? What did we talk about? What's their areas of interest? And it syncs up with LinkedIn and Twitter, and you can create custom fields. Anyways, I love it. So I keep that updated.
So at the end of a day like today, when you're in a conference, will you go back to your hotel and write down who you've spoken to and what you spoke to them about?
So I'll take notes so that I don't forget. Like I'll just write something quickly, let's say in Google Keep. And then when I get back, I'll probably organize everything then because I'm usually too tired. But yeah, I'll update it. It's such a great tool that enables me to do that. I wasn't good about it because I didn't know where to put everything. Like, what am I doing? I'm writing like a note, and how am I going to find the note later? But now it's all associated. It also shows me all meetings I've ever had with the person and emails sent to them. It's all like synced up. When was last time I was in touch with them? Super useful. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm in love with that.
So any other tools just before we round that one off?
I use Notion Calendar. It was a different calendar, but they just bought it. But what I like about it is that it adds something to your toolbar at the top of your laptop screen where you can easily see upcoming meetings. And also right before a meeting, it will pop up with a link directly to the Google Meet or the Zoom. So you don't have to like keep going back to your calendar going, when's my next meeting? Oh, it's in half an hour. Wait, when's my next meeting? And then find the link there. It's all right there.
You've got your family. You've had an agency. You've had the product, the server, software, if you like, Stratic that you built and then sold, and you're now working with Elementor. Is there anything that you would do differently if you could replay the last 15 years?
Yeah. When the kids were younger, I should have probably had more help in the house to help me give them more emotional attention, because I was doing everything for various reasons, pretty much. I was like a technical mother, so I would make sure that the food was cooked and the dishes were washed and the laundry was done and like everyone got up and the appointments, but less emotional bandwidth after all that. And that, I think, is a shame. That's something that I would have done differently.
Just spent more, quality time.
Yeah, more quality time, more like thorough conversations with them. Some know how to demand attention and then they get it. But the ones who are quieter and like, oh, I'm not going to bother or whatever, like easygoing, they also need that attention and they don't necessarily get it because they're not as loud and demanding.
That's a minor regret in a way. But do you think if you did replay your life and you were that different person, do you think you would have achieved what you did achieve? Or do you think it was a necessary sacrifice? I'm going to use that word. Did you need to be that kind of driven person that was, like you said, getting everybody up, cooking the food and all of that, but not having the time to do, again, air quotes, quality time?
Maybe it would have impacted my future professional success. I would have liked to have been able to do both. But actually, I did talk about that this morning, which is that, you know, we're all trying our best to do our best, right? It's not like I wanted to do something poorly or less efficiently. So I did my best under circumstances, and it's not ideal, but it's also not worth feeling guilty about. It is what it is. And thank God my kids, they're great. Like, they're very independent for good and for bad, right? Like, 7 kids, you end up starting to make your own food, like, at some point, maybe earlier than other families and things like that. And even helping me with younger kids. So like, older kids would help me with younger kids, but they're independent and strong. You know, we all grow up with, our parents are humans, which means that they're flawed. So I'm flawed as well. I don't really regret things. It's just something that I would have wanted to improve.
Yeah. If you look back over the same period of time, all of these different things that you've done, what's been some of the highlights? What have been the bits that have made you most happy? So I'm concentrating on the work side of things. I'm sure that the family side of that would, you know, bound to be fabulous things that you did with your family. But on the work side, what's given you the most pleasure looking back, the most satisfaction?
So I don't remember specifically which projects it is, but in my agency, when we would sign on like a really cool company and then work with them and build them something successfully, that always made me so happy. That felt like a big win. Working with a cool brand or building a particularly interesting site, that's what kept me going all those years, building sites, because it was always different. Like, it wasn't cookie cutter. Every company had different needs and different goals. We also worked with some really amazing nonprofits, not only in Israel, outside of Israel as well. That's always inspiring because you feel like you're like a partner in their efforts. So that always kept me going. And then with Stratic, every time someone validated it, that was super exciting for me. So it started off with getting accepted to startup accelerators. Smart people being like, oh, that's really cool. We think there's something there. And, you know, getting investors. And our CTO at Stratic was one of the co-creators of the PHP programming language. And getting him on board with the vision. And he was one of our early investors. And then he joined full-time as CTO. And he's a great guy. These kinds of wins, they were super exciting. And seeing people using Stratic and having success with it and loving it. Yeah, it was all really exciting.
Why did you sell Stratic? Were you tired of managing it? You just wanted to let go of something there? What was the reasoning behind
it? The timing was right for many reasons. And I knew Elementor for a long time. I knew the founders because I used to organize the WordCamps in Israel. And they were like sponsors in their early, early days. I have pictures of them standing at like a very plain table with some cars. And that was at Elementor in the early days. It's great to see because now we have this ginormous booth here, you know. And I felt like this is a good home for us also from that perspective. Thank God, I think it was right.
Did it live on? Does it live on?
It's still there. It's still under the Stratic brand. That might change soon where it becomes something like Elementor Static Hosting. I think that would be a good move for it. But yeah, we have happy customers, people signing on and gaining from the value of it, which is really great to see.
It sounds like everything that you did prior to Elementor, you probably were leading whatever it was. You know, you were leading the agency, you were leading the development of Stratic. I'm guessing that you're not leading all of Elementor. So that means that you must now be, you've got a boss. How's that? How's that shift in, okay, I'm being told what to do now as opposed to me inventing all the things that I need to do?
It was really hard in the beginning. Really hard. I hadn't been an employee for, well, I stopped being an employee when my fourth kid was born and she's 19 now. Okay. So it was like, I don't know, 17, 18 years. And what was hard for me was not that I was being told what to do. I think Yoni and Ariel, knowing me, they knew that I can't really tell Miriam what to do. It won't go over well. And they weren't interested in telling me what to do, but they're the founders. But it was that I didn't know what was flying. I always knew exactly what was happening in my companies. I knew what was coming up next. I knew how to get things done. I knew who to be in touch with. And then things just became really, there's like a lot of friction in Elementor for me because I didn't understand how the organization worked. If I needed something done, or if I needed to do something, or if I needed to buy a tool, or I don't know what, I didn't know who to talk to, and I didn't know how to get it to happen. Really frustrating for me. And when I was in the beginning, I was still leading Stratic, and that was incredibly frustrating because also I didn't know how to get things done. If I know something needs to be done, I like to just do it. And then I felt like I was dealing with way more bureaucracy. It was really frustrating. I didn't know if I was going to stick around because of that. Not because of them. Just, I was like, I can't be an employee. And I was like, you know what? I just need to learn how to be an employee. That's a new skill set, which I love learning new skill sets and having new experiences. So when I shifted my mindset to, okay, instead of trying to fight the system, why don't I learn to work within the system? And then I took on the role of head of WordPress relations. Slowly but surely, I learned how the system works. And now I find that I have capabilities to do way more than I did at Stratic, which is interesting because there's more internal resources. So like there's design teams, there's video teams, you know, different types of teams like that. And I can use their services for different projects or initiatives that I'm working on. And I also learned that at Elementor, if I have an idea, I can bring it up. And pretty often, or almost all the time, or all the time, I'm trying to think if they ever said no, they'll be like, okay, go for it. I can just do it. Which is amazing. And I don't have to stay in my lane. That was something else that I learned. So like if I see something happening in a different team that I think can be improved, I can be like, can I help you improve this? And they'll be like, okay. And then I can help. Because one thing that's hard for me is to see things that I think are being done in a way that I don't think they should be done.
Not optimal.
No. Yeah. And it frustrates me like crazy. So at Stratic, I would fix that. But I can fix that too at Elementor because people are open to it. And so it got better. And now I'm having a pretty good time. Also, my boss is basically the CEO. So I don't have, there's no middle management. And I just report to him. And he's not like a micromanager at all.
What did you say the role was called again?
Head of WordPress Relations.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a funny title and role. But Elementor is a WordPress-based company. And our relationship with WordPress really matters. Like, we need to be good contributing citizens in the WordPress space and be community members and all that. And also around Elementor are, first of all, a lot of Elementor add-ons. You know, we need to make sure that things are going well with them and have good communication with them. And also other plugins that aren't necessarily Elementor specific, but we have big overlap with their user base, which is a lot because Elementor's user base is so huge. We passed the 16 million active install mark. It's like 20% of all WordPress sites. And like almost 10% of all sites, something like that. Like it's mind-boggling numbers. So there's going to be overlap with other WordPress tools. Their users are going to be using Elementor. And we want to make sure that our users are having a great experience. So now we have good open lines of communication with these companies. There's a face that they are familiar with that they can turn to, which is me, and try to improve our communication overall with external parties.
That role, were you the first person to fill it at Elementor? So was that role created for you? You're nodding, so that's a yes.
The answer is yes.
And why was that role created? Was there a sense that you needed to contribute more into the community? What was going on there?
I think that Elementor's management wanted someone in this role for a while, but it's not a typical role where you have a job description because I've been in the space for so long and I know WordPress in and out. I've built an agency and products. I'm very well connected and I'm passionate about WordPress. I'm a WordPress person, not an Elementor person. Now I'm an Elementor person as well, but like my passion is WordPress and the project and its future and the community. And all of that comes together to form this position. And you know, there's not, I don't know how many people there are that fit that role.
It sounds like the perfect role. Has it turned out that way?
Yeah. When I first took it on, so many people's response was like, oh my goodness, this is like the perfect role for you. It's totally the perfect role for me. Because I'm passionate about all of that, about WordPress and open source and the community. And like I mentioned, I'll do that better because I care. I get to build relationships, which I love meeting people and connecting with people. And so that's part of my job, which is really fun. And I get to be creative in different ways and bring initiatives. And it's like all of the good parts of being a CEO without the stress. So yeah, it's really great for me.
Does Elementor continue to grow? I mean, I've been following the progress of Elementor since right at the beginning. And I remember it coming out and there was this free version which gave away so much. And then, you know, Pro came along and what have you. But it was meteoric rise. I think unlike any, maybe there's been one or two things in the WordPress space that have had that kind of level of rise. But it really did go gangbusters for years and years and years. How has Gutenberg affected usage? You talked about Beaver Builder and introducing them to, you know, some of your people and what have you. Does Gutenberg seem like a sort of threat to you, or is it we can all live the space for everybody? It's fine.
So first of all, with regards to Elementor's meteoric rise, I mean, I saw it from the side because I was, you know, I knew them and I was friends with them. We were both in the Israeli WordPress community. And I mean, it was crazy. In their first year of activity, they had 100,000 installs. And then by the second year, 1 million. How insane is that? They brought a product to market that solved a huge pain point in a really good way and continues to do so. Elementor continues to grow, and any WordPress growth, or at least lack of negative growth, some by certain people has been attributed to Elementor actually bringing fresh websites into the space, which is amazing. I'm so happy to be part of a company like that, because every new website in the WordPress space is a new potential business for all of these tools that are here at this conference. It means that they might, you know, they're going to need hosting. They might not use Elementor hosting and they'll choose someone else. They're going to need an SEO plugin. They're going to need maybe security, translation, whatever. That's good for everyone. It's continuing to grow. Like I said, we just passed the 16 million mark and we reached 15 million not that long ago. I think it's not even half a year. I'm not sure. So Elementor is continuing to grow, thank God, and hopefully it will continue to grow at a good pace. I think Gutenberg is a promising project for WordPress. I think it was the right move to make it a priority, because continuing with the old WYSIWYG editor, I think would not ensure a good future for WordPress. It needed to be modernized and made more user-friendly. So far, I wouldn't see it as a threat exactly. I try to talk to people about their Gutenberg experience to understand benefits versus Elementor, but yeah, it's just another option and it's good that it's there. And actually many users use both. They'll use Gutenberg for part of the site and Elementor for part of the site. And that's great. Like, everyone should use what works for them.
I feel like the phrase is a rising tide carries all boats.
Totally.
Or something like that. If Elementor provides a way in for WordPress, exactly as you said, you know, they're still going to need hosting. They're going to need an SEO plugin. And if Elementor grows, and I think you're right, I think you can attribute significant proportion of WordPress's growth over the last 8-9 years or whatever it has been to page builders and Elementor kind of leading the charge there. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, well, hopefully you'll be around with Elementor for the foreseeable future and it'll maintain its position. 16 million sites.
That's really
impressive. Miriam, tell us where we can find you. I'm sure people listening to this, maybe they've been interested by the Elementor bit, or maybe they've been interested in listening about your life and how you've managed all of that. Where can we find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Miriam Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B. You can email me, miriam@elementor.com. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn, all the places. I'm not on TikTok.
Not on TikTok.
Okay. Don't find me there.
Will not be finding you on TikTok. But thank you, Miriam Schwab, for chatting to me today all about your life.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me about it.